the sake of the world. Amen. So a few summers ago, Gail and I took our boys down to Johnson Shut-ins, the state park a couple hours south of here. If you've never been before, it's this amazing, beautiful place. It's always filled with people climbing and swimming and splashing around this river that's carved out these beautiful rocks and these formations you can slide through over the centuries of flowing water. And the last time we went, we were kind of shocked, though, because we got in there a bit and we looked up and there's, if you've been there, there's a big cliff and there's a big bright sign that says, do not go beyond this point, danger. And there were two teenage boys walking up way beyond the sign and we're like, oh, what are they going to do? And the next thing we know, boo, they jump off this cliff about 50 feet above the water and splash in. And we're terrified, but then they come back up. And a lot of people there were saying, oh my gosh, they're so brave and they're so courageous. And some of us are saying, that's not courage, that's foolishness. but we did talk to them later and found out that, in fact, their parents were there and they had dove down into that water before to make sure it was safe before jumping. So we felt a little better. And the next thing we know, we look and then the boys and I look up and there's mom walking up this same path, not to be outdone by these teenage guys who then cliff jumps. So she was fine. She's still here. But what is courage? When we think about courage, what does that mean? You know, about 20 years ago in 2001, I was in Nigeria for a couple months doing this traveling music ministry team, and the other guys and I on the team were feeling very disappointed because we'd been in West Africa now for several months, and we'd heard all these stories about these really big, scary, dangerous snakes in the area. We had yet to see one, and that we were staying next to this big grassy field, and one afternoon we thought, I think we should go snake hunting. And so we got some big sticks, and we walked through this tall grass, hitting these sticks, trying to scare something up. Thank God we didn't actually see anything. We thought we were courageous, but in hindsight, that I don't think is courage. I think that's just stupidity, right? Or maybe we all knew that guy in high school, that tough guy who would always go around thinking he was so strong and say, I'm not afraid of anyone. I'll fight anyone at any time. Is that what courage is? Or is that more of an inferiority complex? What is real courage? And when we go through this Lead Like Jesus Bible study this morning, the word courage is defined this way, the confidence to take action and persevere when there's something you know is right. One of the most common phrases we hear in the Bible is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Over and over and over again, Scripture tells us this. It makes us wonder, why is God so persistent in this message to us? What is the purpose of courage when it comes to following Jesus? Well, one need for courage is to be able to lead others in the way of Jesus because it's not always easy. It's to help others, especially those who might be in trouble or vulnerable or in dangerous situations. God tells us to be brave so that we can accomplish God's will in this world and deepen our trust in God. It's about putting myself at risk for the sake of others. You see, for Jesus, courage is always about others. But what's the purpose of courage in our culture, though? Sometimes I think in our culture, courage often becomes more about me, about my glory, about my self-gain. Culture is often lifting up courage as something like fighting or bullying or defeating someone weaker as if that's courage, but I don't know that that's actually courage. That seems more like a facade, like an outer courage to cover up an inner fear. And so one reason that the Bible tells us time and again to be courageous is to empower us to follow Jesus for the sake of others. But another reason is this. Fear makes us do some crazy things, doesn't it? You know, when we live in a state of fear, there's actually a part of our brain that scientists lovingly call our lizard brain. You've maybe heard me talk about this before. It takes over. It's that fight or flight instinct, that reflex, that survival mechanism. It's like fear flips a switch in your mind, and your lizard brain literally takes over and shuts down your higher thinking for a time and says, get out of the way. You're too slow. I've got this, and charges ahead. And sometimes that saves us, but a lot of times it gets us into trouble, right? God designed this mechanism in us for a good purpose, for the purpose of running away from lions or snakes. But the same mechanism in our modern world unfortunately, it seems to sometimes kick in when it shouldn't, like when we watch the news and we see something that really disturbs us, or when we scroll through social media or read things online about things that are going on in this world, and we live in this constant state of fear, and when that happens, we get into deep trouble. Not just mentally, though, but physically, it's harmful to us. It causes health issues, it affects our sleep, our brain chemistry, all these things. And because we can't sleep or can't think straight, we can't discern properly, which is another attribute of leading like Jesus. We end up making poor decisions. We become susceptible to things like manipulation or deception, and fear tricks us into blaming others for our problems, scapegoating others. Fear makes us start to see our neighbors with suspicion as if they might be enemies, leading us to do some terrible things. That's why I love what it says in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You see, when we are free of fear, we are free to love. So when God says, do not be afraid, God is saying to us, be free of all these things. Trust in me. Rest in me. Let me lead you, not fear. When we live in courage, we have better relationships. We have a sense of freedom. We can think clearly. We can make better decisions. Over the last couple of weeks, our other pastors, Amy and Vernia, talked about humility and about curiosity. I think both of these practices are precursors to living with more freedom from fear. You know, throughout history, we see the story play out again and again that people in power often become driven by fear of losing that power. And when that happens, they seek to keep society living in constant fear so they can retain that power for themselves. And we see this in both of our stories today, where Joshua had taken over for Moses, who'd led these people out of generations of slavery under Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had been in fear of losing his power as the growing number of Hebrews came, and it led him to do horrific things. But yet God led them to freedom. And God said to Joshua, do not be afraid. As I was with Moses, I will be with you also. Be strong and courageous. And I think it's important to keep reading, because notice God said to Joshua after that, be careful to act in accordance with my ways, with my law. Then you will be successful. You see, the courage God gives Joshua isn't just for him alone. It's for the sake of all of God's people. It's for others. Then we get to Jesus' day. Jesus was born into a world with Herod, a tyrant king, on the throne. A king who terrorized the people, keeping them constantly living in fear. And so in the life of Jesus, we see what it looks like to lead with true courage through his life and his example. Jesus refused to live in fear. He refused to be intimidated or silenced or divided from others. Instead, he built relationships and walked with others in obedience to God's will, building this beautiful community, whatever the cost. He was consistently doing what was right and what was just, regardless of the challenges, despite the pushback, because he knew that consistently doing what is just is a powerful way to resist tyranny. Jesus refused to return violence for violence. He refused to return hate for hate. The courage that Jesus showed was a courage to love, even those who would call him enemy. The courage to resist violence with an unwavering commitment to nonviolence. And in his last days, Jesus showed courage like the world had never seen before. He's arrested unjustly. He's drugged before Pilate, this man who he's beaten, he's mocked, he's in front of Pilate, a man who has all the power to have him tortured and killed. Yet Jesus doesn't cry out. He doesn't fight back. He tells his followers not to fight back. He stands before Pilate, someone who holds all the power to have his friends arrested or disappeared without any consequence. And when Jesus is questioned, he refuses to engage in this fighting, this argument. He refuses to fight back. And in the silence that he showed was the courage that rocked the world. And in that moment, we see Pilate becomes the one who's afraid. Do you see that? He's never seen anyone like this before. He keeps trying to figure out what's going on. His wife had even run in that day and said, "Don't do anything to this man. I had a dream, a vision. Stay away from him." And so Pilate, deep down, he knows what's going on is wrong. And you even see in the story a few times he kind of tries to get out of it, but in the end, he's overwhelmed by his fear. Fear of losing his power, his status, fear of the crowds. And so he makes the worst decision of his life, and he lets Jesus be crucified. There are those pivotal moments in our lives where we make the mistake and we bow to fear, and forever then we look back with regret on what we didn't do. But Jesus, he didn't bow to fear. Jesus, knowing full well all of the pain and suffering before him, he stood strong and courageous. He faced death. For the least, for the lost, for the hurting, for the broken, for the vulnerable, for you, for me. That is true courage. And we can have that courage too. Not because of our own strength, but because the Spirit of the living God is inside you. You can have that courage because Jesus is walking with you right now. And when we walk in accordance with God's ways and God's world, there is nothing that we need to be afraid of. God says to us today, be not afraid. And when we're walking with Jesus, we can actually start to do that. We can live without fear, not because being courageous means that nothing bad will ever happen to us, but because when we're walking with God, we know that whatever bad might happen, it won't be the end of the story. Because death has been defeated by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Evil cannot have the last word. And so we can live in freedom and in the courage God gives. And when we do that, it transforms our lives. It transforms our perspective. It transforms the way we see our neighbors, the way we see the world around us. It changes everything. You know, when we see examples of Christ-like courage in others, we feel inspired, right? We want to live like that. We want to be a part of that. I think about those saints who have gone before us in these stories that we've learned. I think about people like Harriet Tubman, the great abolitionist and spiritual giant who was born a slave, and this girl who was abused, she finds freedom, and then she doesn't use that freedom for herself, but she goes back over and over again to bring others, family and friends, to freedom. And then even after the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 was passed, making it even more dangerous, she continued to do this, creating this underground railroad to bring others out of oppression and into the light of freedom. I think about people like Oscar Romero, the El Salvadoran priest who became this champion of the poor and oppressed during that difficult time in his country. He refused to be silent. He continued to speak with hope to the point where his life was ended. He was assassinated while breaking bread at the table in mass. I think about stories like a widowed migrant mother who flees from her home, traveling thousands of miles with her kids, all on her own, seeking safety and shelter for them, who would do anything to save her children. These are the stories of true courage that inspire us. Where is God inviting you to be courageous this week? Friends, to be not afraid means to be willing to move forward with courage, even though there will be challenges, even though there will be hardships. And we know that we can do this because we are now guided by the Spirit of God, not a spirit of fear. See, my friends, courage frees us to live joyfully, to love boldly, to lead boldly. Let us pray. God, we thank you that your son Jesus showed us the ultimate courage for our sake and for the sake of the world. Lord, in those times when we feel afraid, when we are overwhelmed by the world around us, Lord, give us a measure of your Spirit. Help us to walk in the freedom of knowing you, the freedom of knowing that you are with us, the freedom of knowing that whatever comes, it's not the end of the story, that the end of our story is life with you. God, help us to be brave and bold that we might be your presence in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.